individuals willing to stand up for what was right and to be faithful to God.
There we go. Now I'm being recorded. All right. So here today, you sit back in your seats, listen very closely as Randy comes and help me share with you this important story. And of course, whenever you go to someone's house, you always have to knock on the door. You never just open the door and run in and say hello. You always knock on the door. So we'll see if Randy's available. Here we go. And we'll see what Randy has to say. Oh, Randy, go away! What did he say?
Go away!
Go away! No, he can't say that. Randy, go away! He did say go away! Oh, Randy, go away! Randy, don't do that. That tickles. Cut that out. What? Yeah, don't do that. Oh, put me back. Put me back. I don't want to get out. Oh, put me back. Don't do that. Wait a second. Hold me. Put me back. Tut-tut. Hey, there's people out there. Oh, put me back. Put me back. But Randy, these folks want to meet you. And by the way, your tie is all messed up. Oh, that tickles. Don't do that. Just a second. Do I have to? Yeah, you gotta look nice here. What's going on here? Here. Well, that's not right, but I think it will work. Put me back. Put me back. Randy, why are you so excited about going back home? Well, God doesn't use me. What do you mean God doesn't use you? God doesn't use small things. Oh, Randy, God does too use small things. Then why doesn't God use me? Oh, Randy, think of all the people who have come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, all as a result of you. No, God doesn't use small things. But Randy, I want to share with you that God does too use small things. I don't believe it. Well, let me share with you a story that's found in the Word of God.
Yeah?
In fact, this story is a story about a battle.
Oh, we get to see a war?
That's right. Oh, this is exciting already. In fact, this is a war against Israel and the Midianites.
The Hoogites?
The Midianites. You see, the Midianites, the Amalekites, and the children of the east and the west and the north. No. Just the children of the east. The Bible shares with us that the Midianites came in and they destroyed Israel's land, their property, took their food from them. And it was terrible, I should say so. But God had a plan.
He did.
Mm-hmm. He came down and talked to an ordinary individual, just like you and me.
What's his name?
Oh, Randy, his name is Gideon.
Never heard of him before.
Well, I'm not surprised, because see, Gideon was just an ordinary individual, just like you and me.
Yeah.
And when God came down and talked to Gideon, guess what Gideon said?
This is not my day.
No, well, yeah, he really wasn't sure if God could use him. It took a little while, and God told Gideon that he was the man to deliver Israel from the Midianites, but he didn't think that God could use him. He didn't think that it was even possible. But Gideon, he talked with God, and there was a few tests, and pretty soon Gideon realized he was the man for the job.
Yeah.
So Gideon gathered together his army, 32,000 men. And guess what Gideon said?
Charge!
Yeah, well, not quite. God came down and said, Gideon, you have too many men in your army.
Yeah.
So God told Gideon that whoever was too scared to fight in this battle, they could go home.
How many men went home?
Well, the Bible shares with us that out of 32,000 men,
yeah,
22,000 men went home.
What did Gideon say
to the 22,000 men that just went home?
Yeah.
Oh, Gideon didn't say anything. I got something to say. You have something to say to the 22,000 men that just went home?
I sure do.
Is it important?
Yeah, it's important.
Okay, you tell us. What are you going to say to the 22,000 men that just went home?
Are you ready?
Yep, I'm ready. Here it is. Chickens! Yeah. Gideon, those men left because they just didn't think God could use them. They had fear that dominated their heart, so they chose to leave. That left Gideon with only 10,000 men. So Gideon stood before these 10,000 men, and this is what Gideon said. Charge! Oh, no. Once again, God said, Gideon, you have too many men in your army.
So two men went home.
Oh, no. God told Gideon, I want you to give Israel a test.
Oh, that doesn't sound fun to me.
Oh, but Randy, this is a very simple test.
What did you say?
It's a very simple test.
Well, that's an oxymoron if you ever heard the one.
No, you see, it was simple because all they had to do was bend over and get a drink of water.
Yeah.
Those who picked up the water in their hand and lapped the water out of their hands, can I have the drink? No, you can't have the drink. Those who lapped the water out of their hands like a dog, they were the ones to stay. But those who bent over and drank the water out of the stream, they were the ones that went home. How many men are left? Well, the Bible shares with us that out of 10,000 men, there are only 300 left.
Three. How many men are on the other side?
Well, the Bible shares with us that the Midianites, the Amalekites, and the children of the East,
yeah,
they had an innumerable army.
A whole lot.
We'll see that later. Hold, where we are. I'm leaving. Hold, I'm going. Oh, wait a second. This is the most exciting part of the story.
Losing does not sound exciting.
But Randy, the Bible shares with us that God is on Israel's side.
He is?
Mm-hmm. The Bible tells us that Israel had some very unique weapons. An F-16, an aircraft carrier, and a missile launcher.
Oh, no.
Their weapons went like this. Each one of them had a pitcher of mango juice. Oh, no, not mango juice. And also, each one of them had a lantern.
Only needs an extension cord.
Well, no, they put the lantern or the pitcher over the lantern so the enemy couldn't see them coming. Then each one of them also had a trumpet.
Oh, to play taps.
Oh, no. It wasn't to play taps. The trumpet represented 1,000 men. As far as the Midianites were concerned, there were 300,000 men circled around them.
But there's not.
No, there weren't. This is how the battle went.
I got to hear this.
In the middle of the night, Israel circled around the Midianite army. When the timing was right, they broke the pitchers, which made the lanterns shone brightly. Then each one of them blew a trumpet, representing 1,000 men. As far as the Midianites were concerned, they were circled around with 300,000 men. They came running out of their tents, destroying one another.
What did you say?
They destroyed their own army. They destroyed themselves. Israel had to chase after a few, but they were destroyed by only 300 men.
Wow. If God can do that with Israel, think of what God can do with me. I'm not so insignificant. God can use me. Oh, that's exciting. And you know, if God can use me, he can use you too. This is exciting. God can use me. I am not so insignificant. Did you hear that, Pastor? He can use me. Isn't that exciting? God can use me. I am important. Hey, we'll see you guys later.
That's Randy. And that battle of Israel against the Midianites, the Amalekites, and the children of the East. God had the victory. They won with only 300 men. You know, if I were a betting man, and I don't bet, I don't gamble, I don't go to casinos. The basic reason why I don't is because I'm afraid I'm going to win. And then everybody will find out, and that would destroy my testimony. So I just don't go. Yes. But in any case, I want to share with you today this powerful story of Gideon and how Gideon was used of God in an incredible way. First of all, let me share with you Israel's fatal bondage. Israel was kept as slaves. They were slaves to the Midianites, the Amalekites, and the children of the East. You know, it kind of reminds me of sin. Because the Bible shares with us that when we're born in this world, we're slaves to sin. And because we're slaves to sin, we have no hope. We have no hope at all. No joy, no peace. Nothing to look forward to. I wonder how people in the world today continue going on and on and on, not knowing and without hope, without peace, without God. Let me share with you an illustration. I have up here some blocks of wood that I put over here on this table. And first of all, I have this stand, And the stand here kind of has a broom handle in it to kind of hold everything together. And then I have a block here. And this block here, what does this block say?
God.
God, very good. And this block here says? Man. And I think I have a block under this hat that says what? You see it?
Sin.
Sin? Oh, it does. Okay, well, we'll put him right there. And then I'm going to take this stand here. And I also have up here a little red tube. And this red tube is painted red because it represents the blood of Christ. And I want to show you, first of all, that this red tube is empty, except for my handsome face, of course. And then I also have up here some blocks, as you know. And first of all, we're going to take this block here that says God, and I'm going to place it right here in the middle, just like that. And then I'm going to take out from underneath this hat over here, I'm going to take sin, place him right in the middle, and then we're going to put man right here on the top, just like that. And there we have it, a beautiful picture of life. Sin, a trap, slaves to sin. In fact, we have here at the bottom God, and we have man on the top, but sin's right there in the middle. We can't have fellowship with God when there's sin in the middle. And man kind of gets the idea, well, how can I solve this problem? How can I solve the problem and get rid of the sin problem? Well, I have a neat little song up here. Pastor agreed he's going to come on up here, and he's going to help me by playing this song for us. And I got a couple things I want you to help me with. First of all, we're going to sing through this song once. And I'm going to open the song up, and you let me know what shape this illustration is in when I'm done, okay? But we're going to sing through it, and then we're going to sing it through again, but I'll need a helper to come up here and help me hold it, okay? So here we go. Let's sing this song. This answers the question, what can I do with my sin? What can wash away my sin? How can I get rid of that sin problem? Because that's a problem, isn't it? Yes, let's go ahead and sing it. Here we go. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the So what can wash away my sin?
God.
Well, nothing but the blood of Jesus, right? Yeah, God, but it's his son, Jesus. So I need some help here. First of all, what is this song in the shape of now?
A cross.
A cross, you're right. Jesus died on the cross for our sin. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So we're going to sing it through again. We'll take the young lady right here. She put her hand up first. Come on up here. You help me out, okay? Can you hold on to this? You hold on to it so everybody can see it. And we're going to sing it through again, okay? Make sure everybody can sing it or see that. Here we go. Let's sing it through again. Ready? Help everybody out. Here we go. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Thank you so much. You did a good job. Give her a hand. Didn't she do a good job? Very good. Yes, what can wash away my sin? Nothing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You know, if you take this cross, watch this real close. If you take this cross and you fold it just right, do you know what it looks like?
It's a cube.
It looks like a present, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's a gift. The Bible shares with us that God has given to us a gift. His own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we, by faith, were to call upon his name, the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So if we by faith were to reach out and take that free gift and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, asking him to forgive us of our sin, you know what he'll do?
He will take our sin away. He'll forgive us of our sin. He'll take it away. And you know what Scripture says? Scripture says that He will cast our sin as far as the east is from the west, and He will remember it no more. The question is, what have you done with Jesus? Have you ever asked Him to forgive you of your sin that you might have eternal life? Because only through Christ can we spend eternity in heaven. Only through Christ, His blood on the cross, what can wash away my sin? And you know, people ask that question in the world today. How can I know for sure that my sins are forgiven? How can I know for sure that when my eyes close in death, that they will open again in the presence of God in a place called heaven? The only way is through Christ. What can wash away my sin? Nothing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. He is the one that will forgive us and cleanse us as white as snow. So not only do we want to look at Israel's fatal bondage, they were slaves to the Midianites, the Amalekites, and the children of the east, just like we're slaves to our sin. But we could be set free. We can be redeemed, purchased from the slave market of sin, that we might have eternal life through Christ and Christ alone. So not only Israel's fatal bondage, but how about this one? Gideon's faithful call. Gideon was the youngest one in his family, lived in the smallest tribe of Israel, and yet God faithfully called him and said, "Thou mighty man of valor, I have a job for you. I got something that I want you to do. I want you to step out by faith, believing that you can be victorious, that we can have victory over the Midianites, the Amalekites, and the children of the east. We can win." But Gideon, he didn't know for sure. He was not sure if he was the right one for the job. He was fearful. He thought, how can I know for sure? Oh, he did a few tests. He put the fleece out. He went into the army. He heard some things. And soon he realized, well, maybe. Let me share with you an illustration. I have up here a tube. And this tube here, I'm going to stick some silks into it. Because, you know, when we look at Gideon, we see a life that was in pieces. First of all, he was fearful. He was scared. He didn't know for sure if he was the right one for the job. And, you know, we could also say that he was kind of young. And certainly, how being young, he certainly didn't know how to fight very many battles. How can he do anything for the glory of God? So he was afraid, and he was fearful. And he didn't think that he was the right one. He was too young. And he just thought, well, are you sure that I'm the right one for the job? But God said, Gideon, if you are faithful to me, if you trust me and believe my word to be true, you can do great things for the glory of God. But yet Gideon just wasn't sure. But yet Gideon trusted the Lord. He believed his word and believed that, yes, just maybe, God can use him. And God took Gideon and made something beautiful out of his life. He took all those parts of his life that just seemed to be in pieces, that God certainly couldn't use him, and wove him into something very, very beautiful. Gideon was used of God to do a job that nobody else wanted to do. Gideon was faithful. Gideon stood up for what was right and said, okay, we can win this battle. We can be victorious with God's help. And you know, same thing in our lives. Sometimes we might think, well, God can't use me. I'm too young, not very smart, not talented. God can't use me. But sometimes God, and always God, can take sometimes those pieces of our lives and weave them into something very beautiful that God can use. Gideon was a man who was faithful. He chose to believe God's word to be true, and that, yep, God will allow him to have the victory to step out and do the job that God wanted him to do. So not only do we want to look at Israel's fatal bondage, Gideon's faithful call, but also the Midianites' final battle. You know, the Midianites thought, no problem. I mean, we got an innumerable army. You know, certainly there's no way Israel's going to win, especially when there's only 300 men coming. Certainly
We're going to have victory. Gideon can't do this. But they didn't realize the God that Israel served. That even in the midst of struggles and trials, even when things seem to fall apart and don't seem to go our way, we can trust the Lord. Just like David said, the Lord is my high tower. I can run to him. I can believe his word to be true. I can trust in him, realizing that God can help me through it all. I being in the way of the Lord led me. Gideon was faithful. Faithfully trusted the Lord. You know, I had a friend one day look at me and he said, you know, I think I've got God all figured out. You know, there's one God, just one. And you know, he has many attributes. He is omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He is holy. He is a holy God. And then he said, you know, but not only is there God the Father, but there's also God the Son. And God the Son, and you know, not only that, but you also have to consider the fact that God is holy, that he's holy, and that we can trust in him and believe his word to be true. And I said, now, wait a second, hold it. You know, not only is there God the Father, and not only is there God the Son, but you also have to realize that there's also God the Holy Spirit. And I said, you know, you might think you've got God all figured out, but I want to share with you that you will never figure God out.
Oh, my God.
Because we serve a great God. A God who's in control. A God in whom we can trust. We can trust in him and believe his word to be true and to be faithful to him. Gideon was a man who faithfully served the Lord. He chose to stand up where nobody else would. Gideon had only a few, just 300 men, and God gave him the victory over a multitude, an innumerable army. And you know, I say an innumerable army. We know that God knows how many. God knew how many was there. But Scripture shares with us at this point, it was innumerable. If you go throughout the rest of the book of Judges, you can count them all up. You can count them and kind of get a pretty good estimate of how many there were. But there sure was a whole lot, just like Randy said, a whole lot with only 300 men. You know, when we think about our own lives, sometimes we think, but I'm not talented. I'm not very smart. I certainly can't do anything for God. But when we consider the God that we serve, God can use us right where we are. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the story of Gideon and how you used Gideon and all of Israel. We know that Israel was living in sin during the days of the judges. Men did everything that they thought was right in their own eyes. But yet it was sinful, it was wrong, it was devastating. And so we know that you allowed a multitude of other armies to come in, the Philistines, the Canaanites, the Midianites, the Amalekites, the children of the east, all these different armies finally to get Israel's attention. But Father, we also know that your word is trying to get our attention. Maybe there's someone here that doesn't know for sure that they're saved. They've never asked Jesus Christ to forgive them of their sin. They've never realized what can wash away my sin. And Father, I pray that today, if there's one here that's not saved, that they'll trust Christ and Christ alone before it's too late. And Father, we'll certainly praise you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.